And we are back for the third and final segment this Saturday morning, December 10th. My name is Glenn Wessel, host of Investor IQ. I'm sitting here with Rob Simon and Alice Wessel. We've been talking about some of the new things that the Fed has been considering. The Fed has made it a point to suggest that it is getting ready to rein in some of the stimulation that it has released over the last year or so, but that it's not doing it yet. It's testing its systems so that when the time comes, it will be able to do it seamlessly. So the Fed has made a grand point of saying, don't read too much into that. Of course, that's exactly what investors are going to do, and that's exactly what we're going to do this morning, because we think that it's completely germane to the investment process. The mere fact that the Fed is getting ready and testing its systems to rein in some of the stimulation means that the point in time, though it may not be here yet, is certainly drawing nearer. And that's what we're going to focus on. So we would like to talk a little bit about the Fed policy tools. We discussed before the break moral suasion. It's not a particularly effective tool. We discussed reserve requirements, that they don't often change. It would be a very effective policy tool, but it's too crude. And the Fed prefers not to employ crude tools where finer tools exist. The open market operations is the Fed's primary tool. Actually, let me go back before I hit open market operations. Just mention the discount rate. Banks around the country can generally lend from the Fed as long as they're a Fed member bank. They can, borrow from the Fed, and the Fed will lend them funds at very attractive rates, at what's called the discount rate. Okay, when the Fed wants to encourage banks to lend more money, the Fed will lower the discount rate so that banks have an easier time of lending the money at lower rates because they don't need to earn as much since they're not paying as much on the borrowings. For the most part, the Fed will change its discount rate, but it's not a primary tool that the Fed uses to control the economy. The primary tool is what it considers to be open market activities, as Rob said, or some other people call open market operations, where in essence, the Fed, when it wants to stimulate an economy, it will do what, Rob?
It would normally buy.
It would buy securities, government securities. So the Fed goes out on the open market through its New York District Bank trading desk and will purchase billions of dollars of government securities of some maturity. And when the Fed writes that check, unlike you or me, that check, is written on an account that really is backed by nothing. Some people will consider that a conspiracy. It's not. It's the best way humanity has figured out of running an economy so far. That check is written and new funds are introduced. So that has been what the Fed has done in grand style, grand fashion over the last year or so. And now the time has come where the Fed is going to start pulling that money back out. So when the money is pulled out of the economy and the Fed starts to contract, the money supply,
it's going to sell government securities, which would pull money out of the banks.
Yeah, the Fed's going to sell securities and take the money back into its coffers. And in essence, the money gets retired. It's gone from the system, and now there's less of it. And it's like taking the punch bowl away from a bunch of drunks at the end of a party. There ain't no more juice to make the party. And eventually, the party starts to wind down. And that's what the Fed is positioning itself to do in the next year, 2 years, 3 months, 90 days. I don't know what it's going to be. It's going to happen at some point. So let's talk a little bit about the implications of what the Fed's actions are likely to do to the average investor. Stocks in general, Rob, when the Fed pulls money out, which way do they go?
When the Fed pulls money out, they would tend to go down.
Or maybe stagnate, or maybe not at least appreciate as much. They would be biased towards the negative. So if you've got a good environment and the Fed pulls money out, the stock gains that you might have looked forward to are going to be muted, most likely. That's how it historically has been.
Right.
Or if stocks are going down in the first place, it's going to help them probably go down further.
Right.
So that's what we're looking at. That's why the latter half of a recession is a great time to invest, because the Fed is stimulating the economy and stocks tend to go up during that period. So now we're looking at the reverse. So why don't you run down some of the implications that would have on a portfolio?
Sure. So when the Fed's taking money out, it would tend to affect small cap stocks first. They would be more sensitive, and also highly cyclical names. So things like chemical stocks, industrials, paper, consumer discretionaries, things like that would tend to go down the most.
So let's say somebody had a portfolio that was invested in some small stocks and some large stocks, but you had a view that these rising interest rates and tighter money will quell the market. If you were inclined to trim back any equities, you'd probably be more inclined to trim
the
smaller caps and hang on to the larger caps because they could withstand it better.
Right.
Historically, that's how it has worked. So then you mentioned the cyclical companies. The idea is that we would abandon or trim the cyclical companies, right?
Yes.
And you listed a bunch of them. And the other side of the ledger would be what kind of companies?
Defensive names, something like tobacco companies or...
Consumer staples.
Consumer staples.
Things that... toiletries. Procter & Gamble is a name that comes to mind. Mm-hmm. And we're not recommending Procter & Gamble stock, folks. We're just saying that that would be indicative of that type of company. Any others come to mind, Rob?
Defense manufacturers.
Okay. Yeah. So that would be some of the adjustments that one might make if one wanted to remain committed to equities and to just make, let's say, judicious adjustments to try to make your portfolio stand up to a bad time more evenly. So, Alice, why don't you share with the folks how they can get in touch with us, ask us questions, and some other things maybe.
Certainly. If you'd like to learn a little bit more about Glenn's practice, you could go to wesselinvestment.com. His business is located in the historic Jackson Building in downtown Asheville, and it's called Wessel Investment Counsel. And if you'd like to come in for a free portfolio review, give us a call at 232-2000.
Yeah, or you can drop us an email, anything. So that wraps us up for this week. Thanks very much, Rob. You did a great job with your piece of it this week. My name is Glenn Wessel, host of Investor IQ. We'll be back next week, I hope. Bye-bye.